Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Our late week edition of MG's Rugby League Rundown. Liam Flanagan here as well. Good afternoon, MG.
You know what they're saying. Good afternoon, Liam. Good afternoon, all those listening. It's better late than never, all I say. So usually a Tuesday we drop this, but it's Thursday. We've had other things on our mind, and but we're here, and we can't wait to talk about the week that was and the weekend that's coming up.
Oh, the weekend that is coming up. Two games of footy, but two very interesting games of football. MG, I cannot wait to hear your tips for these two games because I can see both games going either way. Before we get ahead of ourselves, we need to look back very briefly, and we need to bid farewell to two teams that I reckon, MG, if you'd said to most NRL fans that it would be the Roosters and the Storm going out of the competition in the first week of finals, you would have been laughed out of the room.
You certainly would be. Oh, there's no doubt in the world. Raiders, unbelievably, five in a row against Melbourne down there. The game we saw last weekend was just a ferocious frenzy of footy finals. It was amazing, that game. I know a lot of the purists didn't like the fact that there wasn't much rugby league play, but I looked at it as a bigger picture of the arena, the coliseum of collisions and intrigue, and everyone who was at my house watching it couldn't sit down. And that was the last time that happened was Origin 3.
The bum test, seats on bum, if there's no bums on seats.
The same people say the same things about our game, the same ones who bay for us to be more aggressive and more just look at it as it is. It's a beautiful game. Was never more so than last Sunday's encounter. But yeah, you're right. Melbourne and the Roosters. I think you just said before we come on air, 2005 was the last time neither of these two teams have made a prelim. So that's amazing. What an amazing run for these two teams.
And if you want context on how long ago 2005 is, because sometimes you throw out dates and people don't really put it into context, that was the year the West Tigers won the competition. All right, so that's how long ago 2005 was. The West Tigers were the best team in the competition.
So every West Tiger fan has just paused and stopped our podcast and thrown it in the bin and said, "See you later, you blokes." Thanks for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me.
The West Tigers were the best team in the competition.
Oh, the West Tigers.
We bid farewell. Have we got some sad music to play the Storm and the Roosters off?
Oh, the Godfather.
I want to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Well, that's Wayne Bennett talking to Cam Munster, actually. But yeah. No, look, MG, rate the seasons just quickly. The Storm, the Roosters. I mean, we everyone would have had them making finals. Probably not exiting the finals for week one, though.
Melbourne, obviously, it just seems like the orange has been squeezed, and you know the ongoing saga with Cameron Munster didn't help. The fact that Jerome Hughes has been in and out of the team, Pappenhausen's not playing, Christian Welsh all season hasn't played. That's been a massive loss, understated massive loss, I would say. But they just kind of, in the end, they were overpowered by a team that's on a roll, and that's the Canberra Raiders, who had their fifth win in a row at Amy Park, which is an amazing feat in its own. But I think Melbourne, I'd give them a solid 7 out of 10.
Yep.
Unbelievable, the Roosters this time last year. Remember the game against the Titans when they were one pass away from not making it through to the second? But that was a different
season. Pass the ball, Patrick.
Their injury list last year looked like Gallipoli. It was amazing how many people got injured in their team last year. Retirements, suspensions, and they still made it to seventh. Or did they make the fifth? They made the fifth last year. So they got higher last year and they had more busted teams. So I've got nothing but admiration for these two teams. Yeah. I just think both of them have been colossus for so long, and now it's the new breed. Now it's Penrith. You've got to chase Penrith down. They're the benchmark, and just what I've seen lately, I think the Cowboys are chasing them.
Just quickly before we move on, this isn't on the run sheet, but when I heard this story yesterday, we talked about
put your
on
shirt
the
on before you say this.
I want to take my shirt off for your response on this one. Talked about this on the rush hour with Lisa and Dobbo and I. Have you seen the report from the Mole that the Roosters are going to put Jared Warriors-Hargreaves and Victor Radley through anger management this summer?
Oh, my goodness.
They're going to put their two ferocious middle forwards
No.
Through anger management.
Look, I love the Molly, and he's usually spot on for what he says, but and there'd be a bit of truth in that. I had the same thing happen to me when I was going through a few suspensions and whatnot. I got sat down by a, what are they called? Sports psychologist. And basically just had to meditate for a while, and didn't work. You can't take the fire out of the beast. That's why the beast is the beast, because the fire in their belly. And without Jared Warrior Hargraves in this final series, he made it his own. He was the protector of his rugby league team, and look, they'll come back bigger and better. As long as they sort their stuff out with Sawali. See, they seem to be this contract bad timing for the Sawali thing to come out, because as soon as Tedesco got injured in the 15th minute of last Sunday's final, Sawali went the fullback and you didn't know he was playing. So he's got a lot of growth to do. He's got a lot of growth to do. He's a kid, and I think it was unfair to put that much pressure on him. And I think it's unfair to be saying that he wants, you know, $2 million a year to go to Union. It's the money being thrown around is quite ludicrous, but if he wants to go to another code, well, he goes with everybody's blessing.
This show is the petri dish for the rugby league world. This is where ideas start,
explain what a petri dish is.
A petri dish is basically like in a science lab where scientists do little experiments in a petri dish. Things grow out of a petri dish. It's okay. Where penicillin was invented.
Say the science lab then.
Science lab. Okay, so this is the science lab. This is where ideas start and they grow, right? They grow from this podcast and then they are taken out into the broader rugby league world. I've got another one for you. We'll get to the fact that the idea about Craig Bellamy maybe have staying too long and sticking around for next season started on this podcast last week and now it's everywhere. But I've got another one for you. Because you're spot on, MG, the Joseph Suaalii contract stuff, the Cam Munster contract stuff, all that contract talk has not helped these teams in finals. You know how there's that demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea and they're not allowed to have any weapons and guns and whatever?
Yep.
The NRL needs to create, Andrew Abdo, listen to this. You need to create a decontractualized zone around the finals. Essentially, as soon as the regular season ends, player agents are forbidden from speaking about player futures and contracts until the finals are over.
Hey, Dad, they want $150 for jousting sticks. Tell them they're dreaming. You are dreaming. You are dreaming if you think
that's distracting.
Of course it is. But every year it changes from June 30 to November 1 to August 16. Managers don't stop. They're 365, 24/7. They are in everywhere. They are like rust. They get in everywhere.
They're literally on NRL 360.
They are.
Braith
is one. Yeah, Braith and Astor is a player's man. So they don't stop. They can't stop. But I understand. Cody Walker and Luttrell, who I believe will both re-sign with the Rabbitohs, but it's just this distraction at the moment that's hanging over their heads a bit about where they'll be and what they'll do, but I reckon they'll stay. I get 100% what you mean. I really do. It's like kind of Freddie brought this into the Origin camp when he first started. He said, I'm not picking any player that has a contract dispute hanging over his head, and it worked, and it does work. So then it's proved that it does work, but how do we stop it? How do you police it? What happens? Who pays what? You know, it's very complicated. But I agree with you. I don't like these players being under the pressure in the main games. And this main game we spoke about last Sunday. And look, this quickly, if you haven't caught up with all the news, the Panthers belted the Eels, and that was the most disappointing performance of the first week in semis, if you ask me. The Raiders was probably the most dominant. The Sharks and Cowboys played out an epic, and I'm worried about the Sharks coming into this game this weekend after being playing 93 minutes of footy and then coming up against a team that's on a bit of a roll, as my dogs bark. And
they're
the
worried about them too.
Seven sin bins, five HIAs. Never seen before.
Well, let's look ahead, MG. We've looked backwards. Goodbye to the Roosters, goodbye to the Storm. Now let's look ahead. We've got six teams left. Panthers and Cowboys both having a well-deserved week off, but four teams getting underway this weekend, and it starts Friday night, tomorrow night. Parramatta hosting the Canberra Raiders. There is no side with more momentum than the Canberra Raiders right now. They snatched eighth spot off the Broncos in the final 2 weeks of the regular season, but it looked inevitable. We've been talking about them since almost Origin. It looked inevitable that the Raiders and the style of football that they were playing were going to get to finals. It was just a matter of time. And they come up against a Parramatta side that now has this dark cloud about, can they handle the pressure of finals and Brad Arthur's coaching future hanging over it?
Yeah, you in particular were quite bullish about the fact that you thought the Raiders will make it. And that's I wasn't quite as sure that they would have, because basically they were in elimination mode from about a month out. They had to win every game. I think they won 7 from 8 to get where they were. And they all seemed to be doing it on the back of a Hudson Young try right at the end of the game. So they've done it, and they've done it, as you mentioned, with a roll on. The Eels, when you talk about the Eels, they're so inconsistent. For any Eels fans who are listening to this, they have won each time on the last 11 matches following a loss. So they've win one, lose one, lose one, win one. They can't put a few together, but they always win after a loss. So history will say that they might beat the Raiders and then travel up to the Cowboys and get their bums kicked. But it could change. Look, they weren't what they did last week against Penrith was really substandard for finals footy. I think they were too emotive. I think in the first, 30 minutes they were in the game. I think the field goal attempt from Mitchell Moses right on half time changed things a lot, changed the momentum, because it looked like, I know myself, I've been in games before when teams have been either out by 5 or 6 or level, and they're trying to get for a field goal. So there's still 40 minutes to go. So all of a sudden, you've got a subconscious pressure relief of tension, because you go, okay, he was happy to put a 1 point over. We know we're not going to win by 1 point. There's still 40 minutes to go. Nathan Cleary, cool, calm and collected, went up the other end. They're 1 point in front all of a sudden. So it kind of started from there. I thought the Eels forwards were just too emotive. They tried too hard to do things, and Penrith just kind of just brought him into the spot, as Webb said, no, that I won't be enough of that. So, but Canberra, on the other hand, when they travelled to Melbourne, like Melbourne had everything to play for. They had and I thought 90% of people would have thought that it's going to be a Melbourne victory. It was the Raiders fans and those outside who were backing the Raiders run that said they'll win this, and they're going to be up to their eyeballs in it. Their forward pack at the moment, the Canberra Raiders, Joseph Tarpany, everyone's speaking about him, and they should be speaking about him, because he is the form front rower, form player in the competition at the moment. You can take out, obviously, Nathan Cleary's performance was unbelievable. That's his first game in 5 weeks.
Latrell's going
all right. Latrell's been good. But Tarpany's been doing this for 6 weeks. He's been the best player in the comp for 6 weeks. And his engine is amazing for a front rower. He's always clean. He never gets put on the ground. He must have amazing core strength. So he's a big reason. And all of a sudden, he's brought along the sleeping giant in Papali'i. You throw that in, with their back row, which is obviously Whitehead, who's seasoned, but Hudson Young as well. They're going to miss who they're going to miss is Adam Elliott. Elliott's been a real aggressive, in your face lock forward for the last month or two, and he's lost with a groin injury, which Corey Haru and Ira can do the job, but I think Elliott's been in really good form. But it comes back to Fogarty. Yes. Fogarty joined them around 12, and basically then they're, everything's changed since then. Their attack has been better. Whiten's been better. Their outside backs have been better, because Fogarty's playing that role that Chad Townsend's playing in the Cowboys. Just give the ball to the better players. And that makes you a better player when you can sense that. So they've been fantastic. The Eels, well, Dylan Brown came out last week and said that, he wants to knock Penrith out. And then sometimes when you put that much pressure on yourself, it was only I read what I read about it, and I thought, oh, that's a bit risky. Then I heard what he said, and it wasn't kind of in that context. He was kind of saying it in a jovial type of way.
You're not saying that media take quotes out of context.
No way.
How dare you?
Well, it's on the NRL.com what happened, so that's not a salacious type of
rumor-mongering
type of site. They are actually positive that what they write on NRL.com, I love it, Marty Lenihan and the gang.
It's a good headline. It's a good headline.
It's a great headline, and it's something that Penrith would have fed upon, without a doubt.
Do you think, yeah, so, speaking about Dylan Brown and the Parramatta Eels, Mitchell Moses has been named. Now, again, we're not privy to the concussion protocols as they're done by the club. We know with the guidelines that, and the NRL has never been more stringent on these and never been more severe in their want to protect the heads of the players. But from a pub test perspective, understandably, there are people saying, should Mitchell Moses be playing this week?
Well, no, and Cam Murray likewise the week before. And I think what's going to have to happen from now on, if someone gets in a, like in that spaz, like Victor Radley the week before that, when they're on the ground and their body goes stiff like that, they've got to have a 2 week at least weeks off. So a minute and going forward, that will happen. The next stage of involvement in the HIA will be that. You can't have players who look like they're having a seizure on a rugby league field back up 6-7 days later.
It's
taking everything away from what they're doing, Liam. It's taking everything away from what they're trying to do, because you're right, it doesn't pass the pub test. And I can bet your bottom dollar that if this wasn't a final, Mitchell Moses would not be playing. There's no way in the world he'd be playing.
That's it. In the AFL right now, if you fail the HIA, the head injury assessment, it's a 12-day minimum. It's a 12-day minimum. So you can't play the next week.
We'll be the same.
Look, he's named, and this was always going to be the question around concussion protocols is, it's all well and good, and teams are more than happy to abide by them in the regular season. And again, I'm not saying that Parramatta aren't abiding by it, because there's every Mitchell Moses, if they've named him to play.
He's ticked every box.
He's ticked every box
as far as the protocols go. So you can't blame Parramatta or Mitchell Moses. We've got to start looking bigger than that. And that's, you know, Cam Murray, even when he came back last week against the Roosters in the second coming, first couple of tackles, he went in and you can see him coming out gingerly. It takes a while for that brain, that when it hits the skull, to recover. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking about one of the most ferocious games of all last weekend. So we've got to protect the players from themselves as well, and the clubs.
If the Eels lose, how worried should Brad Arthur be?
Yeah, I think he should be worried. I think straight sets would have me worried. But saying that, if Kevvy Walters got a reprieve after the season they had from hell in the back, well, I think Brad Arthur deserves at least another season. We spoke about it for years on the Rush Hour. We speak about it all this year on this podcast, that coaches, why just recycle them? Why not just, you know, make them dig their heels in and fight for what they want to do? You know, obviously. Yep. You know, we've seen so many coaches this year, 3 or 4 being sacked. And it's kind of getting a little bit monotonously boring to see another coach being sacked. Like, it's, if you haven't got the roster, you haven't got the roster. You know, I mean, the coach can inspire as much as he can, but at the end of the day, look at the roster the Bulldogs are starting to acquire at the moment. We feel good there. It's all about backroom management, and you need the best ones at your club to survive.
And it seems like Isaiah Papali'i might have ideas on staying, if that little comment he made at training the other day is anything to go on.
I wouldn't be confident if I was. Again, it might depend on how far they go. If Parramatta win this game on the weekend and they make up to another prelim, and then find a way to the grand final, well, he might think that business is done and he can't do much more for his beloved Eels, but he might think the opposite as well.
Yep.
I don't know.
Right, tip. Please, Eels, Raiders. You know what? I was thinking Raiders. And I've been there with the pom-poms, a big cheerleader of what the team in green's been doing for, as you say, the last 6-7 weeks. Your comment just then about Adam Elliott, I think I'm going Eels. I think you've talked me out of it just with that one, that the loss of aggression and the Eels' up and down form, being at home, CommBank Stadium. You're the one that when we went out to that stadium when it first opened, and you said this is a fast track that is going to make the Eels a 6-point better side every time they play here.
Yeah, well, there's the weather in Sydney as we speak is inclement, a few showers. It's an 8 o'clock game on a Friday, so you think it's going to be a bit of dew about it, but not that much dew. Who does that help? Probably the Raiders. I think it helps because they play in that climate, that scenario every second week in their home deck and in Canberra. But I just got a feeling the Eels want this more. I think the Eels are going to want it more. I think that they can't play as bad as they did last week. Their forwards were shut down big time by Panthers, not in an aggressive way. they used to outplay them all across the park with their ball movement, and Parramatta forwards seem to tire really quickly. So I really don't know. If you gave me $20 and you said put it on one of these teams, I'd put it on Parramatta.
Parramatta, right. Both of us going para. Then we jump to Saturday night, Allianz Stadium. Insanity, just quickly, that the Sharks, who should be the home side for this, are having to essentially play at the Rabbitohs home ground. But that's bygones be bygone. We can't change that. Sharks taking on the Bunnies. The Sharks played out that titanic struggle against the Cowboys last week, and the Rabbitohs finished their sin bin fest with the Chocolates over the Roosters. This is another toss of the coin at the moment.
Oh, it definitely is. It most definitely is. You get the feeling that Rabbitohs being beaten last year in that grand final is kind of, they're using that as a bit of momentum. They're using that as a something to get them riled, to, you know, as motivation. Sharkies, they were in this game. Look, Will Kennedy was out for 5 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks, and it showed, because a couple of times he was a bit reluctant to put his body on the line in the last line of defence. And that's fine when you've been out with a syndesmosis for a long time and someone tries to step back inside you. It's very hard to push off that injured ankle and be 100% with it. So he'll be better for the run, as will, you know, Finucane and the like. But, you know, I've got the feeling that the Rabbitohs are coming. I've got the feeling that Rabbitohs are building up momentum. And I think, well, as long as Latrell's fit, I really can't back against them against the Sharks. I think especially at Allianz Stadium, where they've played 2 games now. So they quickly accustomize themselves with the intricacies of what's going on. So a lot of things go into a game, not just what you see when they run out the field. It's going to a dressing room. It's seeing something foreign, seeing there's the toilets, there's the showers, there's our lockers. And the Sharks are going to see that for the first time this weekend on Saturday. Not that it's a big thing, not that it's a massive thing, but it's a little thing that the Rabbits have done for 3 weeks in a row now. So it's almost like a home game for them. They'll have all the support. They'll have the Sharks to win this game. Have got to strike early and strike, like, get out to a 12-point lead, and then they can use their defence to. But if the Rabbitohs score first, I think it's good night.
I'm just envisaging our mate Wade Graham interviewing on the pitch after the loss. What went wrong, Wade? Oh, we couldn't find the toilets. First time on the ground, we couldn't find the toilets.
This place is a bloody maze. What's going on here?
Fafita pissed himself. He really needed to go before the kickoff, and he couldn't find the toilets.
Just putting his Gatorade bottle.
You know, Toby Rudolph is you know, skid marks. What? Well, couldn't find the toilets.
He couldn't find the mirror to check the bot out. He was, every player likes to walk past the mirror when they, you know, with the shirt off after they put their shorts on, but we couldn't find it.
Dale couldn't find where to store his guitar. Like, Nico didn't know where to put his hair products. It's a nightmare at this joint. Look, MG, I guess the other element to it is Tom Burgess not going to be there. For the Bunnies. Yeah. Big out.
Big loss.
Big out. Especially when you come up against that Sharkies forward pack. But then you've got a tired Sharks forward pack. They played a very bruising game last weekend.
You bring up a really good point. A big body like him is just, even though he's 125 kilos, 6'5", his presence on the field, like Hargraves, like the big bodies, like Nelson, they're there and you're aware of them when you're running the ball. They've got to make a decision. Do they want to have Cody Nikorima off the bench? Or bring someone like Davey Mowali, a big body, onto the 17 against this Sharks team, who, if I look at their bench, Teague Wilton, Cam McGuinness, Braden Hemlin-Ueli, and Andrew Fifita, they're big boys. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of big boys coming off the bench. They've got to fight fire with fire, because Mark Nichols and Tevita Totola, they're going to need some help. And I think we'll see a late change to the expected 17 for the Rabbitohs. I think they're going to make a big body change and put someone bigger than Cody Nikorima on the bench.
Oh, I like this. I like this as a prediction. And that would be astute coaching from Jason Demetrio, who, look, I think Todd Payton's probably secured Dally M Coach of the Year rights with the fact that he's led the Cowboys to a prelim. But all of a sudden, Jason Demetrio coming with a flurry.
Yeah, Fitzgibbon as well. Fitzgibbon wins this game, and he's in the picture as well. But Demetrio, my goodness. I think most people put a line through South. Just
when the whole Ilias stuff and being hooked mid-game, that happened mid-season, there was questions around whether he could handle this group.
10 weeks ago, I think it was. And then Latrell came back. They won 7 out of 8 while he was playing. They made their way into the semi-finals. And now we see ourselves with a fantastic, a riveting game on Saturday night. Honestly, you're right. You said at the top of this game that both these games, like last weekend's games, could go either way. Last weekend's one favourite won, and that was Penrith. The other three were upsets. Will the same happen this weekend? Maybe. Maybe it will. I just think South and Parramatta might be a little bit too experienced when it comes, especially South, who have been, you know, thereabouts for the last two or three seasons in the big games. They beat Penrith last year in the prelim and or in the first week of semis. They've won big games. And I think with Luttrell, Cook, Murray, them three in particular, I think they'll get the job done.
I love that, MG. And I thought if you saw your man, Brad Fittler, interviewing Luttrell after the game on the field, Luttrell was the emotion that he is feeling for this South Sydney side. You could argue there probably isn't a player more emotional about the club that they play for right now than Luttrell Mitchell, given what he did in saying, declaring himself unavailable for State of Origin in the middle of the year. Said that publicly after a game, said, I want to repay this club. I want to repay the faith and the finance that they've invested in me in getting me right. And then He was forced to stop talking to Freddie because he was overcome with the support emotion that he was getting from the fans. Now, most players will tell you they love playing for their clubs, but right now it feels like Luttrell and the love he has for South Sydney, the playing group, the fans and the community, it's hard to tip against. I know he's only one bloke, but it's very hard to tip against.
Yeah, it is. And then whoever does win this game has the uncomfortable position, they're in the uncomfortable position of heading up to North Queensland, who've had a week off on their home deck in a dry paddock. If you had to predict a grand final right now, it'd be Penrith and Cowboys.
Yep.
That might all change this weekend if we see something out of the blue. But if you had to put your money on the line right now, I was going to say balls on the line, but
you can say balls. You can put your money or your balls. It's up to you. I mean, if you're Tom Dearden, apparently you do put your balls on the line.
Well,
or one of them.
It didn't affect. See, I think everyone should have one nut because he ran 13Ks and broke records.
When you take
some weight off, see what you can do, boys.
I've spoken to Reece Robson and Murray Tuilagi on the Rush Hour up here in the last couple of weeks, and I've said to both of them, do you have that same level of commitment? And they both said, I'd like to think so, but probably not.
Well, my young bloke had one. My young bloke had got a stray knee to the cags in a wrestling drill and lost half of one. And he said they reckon you only need one, so he hasn't had any trouble since.
And as we finish up, MG, just recapping your tips, you're tipping the Parramatta Eels to defeat the Raiders, you're tipping the Bunnies to get done over the Sharks. Shout out the Camden Rams and one El Gaia premiers.
Yes, they won the reserve grade grand final on Sunday. We were down there, we're having a squiz, and Logue's been back this year, loving it, loving his footy. And
Has he been seen since the win?
He was spasmodically, yes. They had a big couple of days, let's put it that way. And I had to run the gym on my own for a few days, so that was very hard when you're doing breakfast radio.
Now, you're off next week, MG, on a well-deserved break, getting yourself fired up for the NRL grand final, but I will be back with a mystery guest to fill in your seat. You'll have to come back and check out who that is.
Just tell them not to go. Just tell them not to go too good.
No, we'd never replace you with someone too good.
Have a great week.
Right, we'll see you then.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream, steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.